Well, I'd like to ask you to pray with me as we open our hearts to the word of the Lord today. Father, I thank you that you are changing lives. And Lord, we pray that you would do a work in us today and use us for your glory. I pray, Father, you help me by the anointing of your Spirit to do exactly what you'd have me to do, to say exactly what you'd have me to say. And I pray, Father, that each one will receive what the Spirit is saying to them today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know where these stories come from. I don't know how this ever got started, but I've heard a lot of these kind of stories where somebody gets to heaven, you know, and they get to the pearly gates, and St. Peter is there. Y'all ever heard one of these kind of stories? I mean, yeah, where does that come from? Why is St. Peter the one that's monitoring the pearly gates? I don't know. But anyway, this story goes like this. This guy gets to heaven, or gets to the pearly gates of heaven, and St. Peter is there. And St. Peter starts thumbing through his big book to see whether he's been good or bad. And he goes through it several times, and finally he says to the guy, he says, "Well, I can't really find where you've done anything that bad, but I can't find where you've done anything good either." He says, "I tell you what, if you can just tell me about one really good deed that you've done, I'll let you in." Well, the guy says, "Yeah, I was driving down the road, and I saw this biker gang about to assault this innocent young girl. And I stopped my car and got out, got a tire iron, and I walked over to the leader of that group. He was a great big guy with a leather studded jacket and had a chain from his nose to his ear. And while I stood in front of this guy, the rest of the group, the gang, all surrounded me. And he said, I ripped that chain out of his face. I hit him over the head with that tire iron, and then I turned around and I said to the rest of them, now y'all better get out of here and leave this young lady alone, or I'll teach you all a lesson in pain." St. Peter said, "Wow, that's amazing. I don't have record of that. When did this happen?" He said, "About 2 minutes ago." Yeah. If you got to heaven today, and they asked you, "Why should we let you in?" What would you say? I hope that you don't start thinking of good things that you have done, because it is only by the blood of Jesus that we can get into heaven. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we can be forgiven. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we can have a relationship with an almighty, holy God. We are saved by His grace through faith. And I'm telling you, it's just by His precious blood. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. Under the old covenant, all of us are guilty before God. But we have a new covenant. You know, we refer to the Bible, the Scriptures, as the Old Testament and the New Testament. But really what it is, plain simple English, is it's an old covenant and a new covenant. And the Bible says the new covenant is better. We have a new covenant. It's a blood covenant. Jesus shed His blood for us, that if we, this is our covenant, that if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died to pay the price for our sins and rose again, then we are saved. Then we are set free. Then we are righteous. Then we can have a relationship with God. That's our covenant. Listen, He did the hard part. He shed the blood, amen, in this blood covenant. We just have to believe. I think it's kind of strange in this day and time to talk about the blood. I mean, it's just not really something that most people want to hear about. I mean, can we really... Is it necessary to talk about the blood? Yes. Jesus talked about the blood. The Scriptures talk about Jesus' blood being shed for us many, many times. But can we just talk about God's love and forgiveness without the blood? No. See, this is real popular. Let's talk about God's love. Let's talk about God's forgiveness. I mean, there's some subjects everybody likes. Let's just talk about the love and the forgiveness. You can't have the love and the forgiveness without the blood of Jesus. The Bible says it very plainly in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The NIV says forgiveness. See, you can't have the forgiveness without the blood of Jesus. It's only by the blood, His blood. It's a very, very special type. You say, oh, well, I got a rare type of blood. Listen, Jesus is so rare that He's the only one with this type of blood. His blood was the blood of a sinless, spotless lamb, an innocent. Listen, even Judas knew it. After he had betrayed Him in Matthew 27:4, he says, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. I think it's interesting that in the scriptures there's an article there, not just innocent blood, but the innocent blood. Because I'm telling you, His is the only innocent blood. The rest of us are all guilty. The rest of us are all born sinners. Even that precious baby, only the sinless, spotless Lamb of God born of a virgin, He's the only one with the innocent blood. He's the only one that could save us. He shed His blood for us to redeem us. It started in the garden. The Bible says that in agony. You ever been in agony in prayer? It's Luke 22:44. It says, and being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. Then His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm telling you that He shed His blood for us. They beat Him in the face. They plucked His beard. He shed His blood. They whipped Him with a cat of nine tails, and He shed His blood. They pressed the crown of thorns down on His head, and He shed His blood. They nailed Him to the cross, and He shed His blood. He hung there and died on the cross, shedding His blood for us. And I'm telling you this morning, if we really realize how precious, how powerful the blood of Jesus is, that it changes everything. It is that blood that washes us and cleanses us. It is that blood that brings us forgiveness. It's that blood that brings us our freedom. It's that blood that makes it possible for us to be close to God. It's only by the blood. You know, under that old covenant, none of us could truly be righteous by our deeds. And none of us could truly be forgiven by the blood of goats and lambs. Those were just a type and a shadow of the Lamb of God that was to come. At the Last Supper, Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You see, His blood reconciles us to God. It's only by His blood. And I'm telling you, we're never going to stop talking about it. When we get to heaven, we're still going to be talking about it. Revelation 1:5-6 says, to Him who loved us. See, that's why. Why did He do it? Why did He shed His blood? Because He loves us. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Are you washed? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. He washed us from our sins in His own blood and made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. What an awesome thing that He washed us, He cleansed us, you see, to make us His very own people, kings and priests unto God. Why is the blood so important? Why was the blood necessary? Listen, because of the fall of man. Because of the fall of man, we were all under Satan's dominion. Now, I realize that if you say that out in this world, people will say, well, I'm not under anybody's control. I'm not under anybody's dominion. But I'm telling you, the scripture says the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. And apart from Jesus shed blood to redeem us, we were all under the dominion, the authority, and the power of Satan. We were slaves to sin under the power of sin. We were under the curse of the law. Have you ever read the curse of the law? You just read Deuteronomy 28. It is so full of the blessings of obedience, but it's also so full of the curse of the law, of all kinds of sickness and disease, all kinds of poverty and heartache and trouble in your home and with your wife and your children and your business, and everything that you do just goes wrong. That's the curse of the law. We're all under the curse of the law. But Jesus paid the price to redeem us. You know, under the old covenant, if you owed a debt and you couldn't pay it, then you would become a slave. You were forced into slavery. And the only way that you could ever get free was for a kinsman redeemer to come and to pay the price for your freedom, to pay the debt that you owe. We all owe a debt that on our own we can never pay. But we have a kinsman redeemer who paid the price for us. I want you to know, you are the redeemed of the Lord. It's past tense. He's already paid the price in full. He delivered us from oppression, from bondage, from every form of captivity. You see, you need to know this, that Jesus has already redeemed you by His blood. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. See, all of us born in Adam's race owe a debt we can never pay, but we have a Redeemer who paid the price with His own precious blood. You need to realize how valuable, how precious that blood is, that it was enough to totally pay the price of your sin. Past, present, and future. You say, oh, preacher, when you say it like that, does that mean it's okay to continue to sin? Paul says, God forbid. Why would any sincere person want to go back into bondage when the Redeemer has set them free? But past, present, and future, I'm telling you, His blood was enough. It was valuable enough to completely pay the debt of sin for all of mankind, for all of time. He has redeemed us. 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. This is how He did it. He gave Himself. See, Jesus didn't come to condemn, He came to save. He gave Himself as a ransom. He took our place. That was the price that had to be paid because of the fallen, sinful state of man, separated from God, under the dominion of Satan. But we have been bought. We have been delivered, removed from Satan's realm. Colossians 1:13 and 14 says, He delivered us from the power of darkness. Another translation says, the dominion of darkness. You see, we used to be under Satan's influence, his power, his dominion, but we've been removed from that and conveyed, translated into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's only by the blood. This is how Jesus set us free, by his blood. Through his blood we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, the powers of darkness have no authority over the blood-bought child of God. Instead, we have power over all the power of the enemy. If you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you are a part of his kingdom. He is your king, and he reigns and rules in your life. The kingdom is within you. You see, but apart from the blood of Jesus, we are always enslaved and always under the sway of the wicked one. You need to know that you've been redeemed. It's only by the blood that we can overcome the enemy. Revelations 12 and 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. It starts with the blood. I'm telling you, it's only by the blood that you can overcome your enemy, the accuser of the brethren. That's what the scripture calls Satan in Revelation, the accuser of the brethren. You see, Satan knows about the things that you've done wrong. He knows that you're not perfect. He knows that your righteousness is as filthy rags, and he makes accusation against you before God. But his accusations cannot stand because of the blood. You have been justified because the price has already been paid. He has no authority. He has no hold. You need to know that you are free from all the power of the enemy, that Jesus has redeemed you. Listen, he's redeemed you from the power of sin. Sin has no hold on you. Romans 6:18 says that we have been made free from sin and made the slaves of righteousness. How did that happen? By the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, when Jesus redeemed us, he set us free. The price was paid. You see, if you're struggling with some addiction, you need to realize this morning that Jesus has already bought you. You're no longer a slave. He bought your freedom. He paid for your freedom. So many people bound, oppressed by sickness and disease, but I'm telling you, Jesus already paid a price. By his stripes we were healed. The price has been paid. So many bound by some oppression of sorrow and hurt, but Jesus bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. What Jesus went through paid the price. See, this old world, they had us, but not anymore. We belong to Jesus. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We are his now. The curse of the law was on us, but Jesus delivered us from the curse of the law. Oh, that's a good thing. Amen. Because when you're redeemed from the curse of the law, then what's left is the blessings. Amen. And he wants to bless us. In the same way, when you're under the curse of the law, everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. When you're under the blessings, I'm telling you, then God makes things go right. Then God works it all out. It doesn't mean you're not ever going to have any problems or challenges, but God will work it out for your good. It's all because of the blood. You know, sometimes in this life, you find yourself in the midst of all kinds of trouble and heartache and find yourself in a low place. I'm glad that the Bible addresses that, aren't you? In Psalms 104 and verse 4, it says, He redeems, how did he redeem us? By his blood. He redeems your life from destruction. The NIV says, the pit, that's as low as you can go. Have you ever been there? Somebody might be there right now. I'm telling you, He'll redeem you. He will bring you out of that destruction. He'll bring you out of that pit. Job was there. He lost everything except for his nagging wife. He lost his business, his wealth. He lost his home. He even lost his children. But Job trusted God, and he said this. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Listen, you got to know that your Redeemer is alive, that He has already paid the price to bring you out of that pit. It's for you. He's already taken care of it. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. We're going back to this when we read it earlier, but there's something here I want you to see. He says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice He redeemed us from our aimless conduct. The NIV says, empty way of life. You know what? There's so many people just living out their days. And I'm talking about, and He's talking about here, religious people. And they're just living out their days, going nowhere really fast. A life without real purpose and real meaning. An empty life. He's redeemed us from that. God has something better for us. It's an abundant life. And I want you to know, the price has already been paid for you to live that life that He has for you. He redeemed us. He paid the price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Now, you know, here's another statement that doesn't set well with, well, it's not politically correct, right? It doesn't set well with a lot of people. He bought you. Well, I don't know if I like that. You don't understand. He bought you to make you free. He bought you so you didn't have to be under that bondage and condemnation and guilt. You didn't have to be under that addiction anymore. You didn't have to be under that sickness and disease with no hope. He bought you. He paid the price for you. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. See, we need to understand that He bought us for a reason. Now, He has a purpose for everything that He does. He doesn't do things by accident. He didn't buy you and then leave you. Have you ever bought something at the store and accidentally just walked off and left it or left part of it? Y'all are really quiet. Some of you, my wife's done it. Some of you, you're being quiet because you don't want your spouse to know you've done it. But what if you paid $10,000? You didn't walk off and forget that, did you? No, because you paid such a price. And I'm telling you that the price that our Father paid for us, He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's not just going to walk off. The price that He paid for you, I'm telling you, He bought you to take you home. He bought you for a reason, for a purpose. You see, He wants for Himself His own special people, a people redeemed. Revelations 5, 9, and 10. See, when we get to heaven, we're still going to sing about the blood. Oh, the only difference is then there won't be any old religious dead people there. There won't be any people who defy God and shake their fist at God there to say otherwise. But I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, we're still going to be singing about the blood. You're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Out of every people, every tribe, every nation, here is the common denominator of all of the people of God. The blood has redeemed us, every one of us. And God has brought together for himself a people, the redeemed of the Lord. And he says that they say, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. But I'm telling you, he bought you for himself. You need to know that he loves you so very much that he paid such a price to have a relationship with you, to be close to you. Titus 2 and 14 says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, if we realize the price that's been paid for our redemption by the precious blood of Jesus, oh, we are his special people. Why would we allow this world to have any hold in us any longer? Why would we not live for God and serve him with a whole heart? His own special people, zealous of good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is specifically addressing the Gentiles when he says this. It certainly applies to us. He says, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, you ever been far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is how you can be close to God. You see, religion, man-made religion will tell you you can be close to God by doing good things, by giving a big offering. You can be close to God by not doing this and not doing that. You can only be close to God by the blood of Christ. He is holy. And our righteousness is filthy rags. It's only by his blood that we're able to draw near to him. And that's why he shed his blood. That's why he redeemed us, not only to free us, but to bring us into a closeness with him. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. You see, you got to get rid of that old guilty conscience. The only way you can do it is to let the blood of Jesus take it away. Realize that Jesus has paid the debt so that you can come into the very holy of holies, into the presence, into that closeness with the Almighty because of the blood of Jesus, only by the blood of Jesus. I want you to stand with me. This morning, we're going to receive communion, but we're going to do it quite differently than the way that we normally do. This morning, we're going to lay aside our little tradition and pattern of men that has just kind of been established. I believe the Lord directed me to do this several weeks back, and so our worship team is going to come, and they're going to sing, and we're going to have a time of worship and prayer. But the way we're going to do communion this morning is our ushers are going to stand here at the front, at the aisles, and they're going to have the bread and the cup. And I want to ask you that as you are in this time of prayer and worship, you're not going to be in a hurry. Just whenever you are ready, I want you to come and get the cup and the bread and find a place to pray. Now you can stand, you can kneel, you can take 5 seconds, or you can take however long that you would like. But I want you to just in your own way pray and talk to God and let God do a work in your heart and life today. Because I'm telling you that Jesus has redeemed us. And some of you, you need to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You need to declare this morning your freedom because of the blood of Jesus. You see, that body, Jesus said, it's Matthew 26, 26 through 28. He said, take, eat, this is my body. It was broken for us. You see, if you're struggling with sickness and disease, you need to realize you've been redeemed from that by the broken body of the Lord Jesus. He said, here's the cup. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You see, if you're feeling that guilt and condemnation, it's time for you to get free, to know that you've been redeemed. If you're struggling with sin, with addiction, it's time for you to get free, to declare that Jesus has bought you out. You got to get this, church. Listen, the enemy will enslave you, but Jesus has already paid the price to free you. He redeemed you by his blood. It's enough, and you need to count it enough. This morning, there may be somebody who's never invited Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And you, usually when we take communion, we say, as long as you know the Lord as your Savior. Well, let me tell you how to handle that this morning. You come and you take the bread and the cup and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and ask him to be the Lord of your life. And then you receive of his broken body and his shed blood. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. But for all of us, this is an opportunity for worship. He says, come and draw near in full assurance of faith. And as you remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you celebrate the closeness that you now have with God in communion. So we're just going to have this time of open communion and time of prayer and worship before the Lord. And I know this is different, but we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in us today. And so as we pray, as we worship, whenever you feel that you're ready to declare your victory, your freedom, receive all that Jesus has for you, I encourage you to just come and take communion with us. Amen.